Throughout bin Laden's years in Sudan, that country served as a base for arms and fighters, going not just to Bosnia, but also to terrorists in Egypt, Ethiopia, Uganda, and even Gaddafi's Libya. In June 1995, Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak flew to Ethiopia for a meeting in Addis Ababa of the Organization of African Unity. Aware that Sudanese-based Egyptian terrorists were plotting to kill Mubarak, Mubarak's intelligence advisor insisted on an armored limousine and rooftop snipers along the routes from the airport. Without them, Mubarak would have been dead. Islamic jihadist terrorists attempted to block the road, fire on the limousine, and bomb the motorcade. They narrowly failed. Following that event, Egypt and we, joined by other countries in the region, sought and obtained the United Nations Security Council sanction on Sudan. In the counterterrorism group, we considered the sanctions a rare diplomatic success. The counterterrorism security group also considered direct action. The White House requested the Pentagon to develop plans for a U.S. special forces operation against al-Qaeda-related facilities in Sudan. Weeks later, a Pentagon team briefed National Security Advisor Tony Lake and other principals in Lake's West Wing office. There were options to raid a terrorist facility that the Pentagon briefing labeled Veterans Housing for Afghan Warfighters, a plan to blow up a bank in downtown Khartoum that was thought to house bin Laden's money, and a few other options. While the Joint Staff dutifully briefed on the plan, they recommended strongly against it. "I can see why," Lake replied, after seeing the details. "This isn't stealth. There's nothing quiet or covert about this. It's going to war with Sudan." The military briefing leader nodded. "That's what we do, sir. If you want covert, there's the CIA. The CIA, however, had no capability to stage significant operations against al-Qaeda in Sudan, covert or otherwise. The Saudis, or perhaps the Egyptians, may have been thinking along similar lines about the need for some covert operation against bin Laden in Sudan. Reports reached us from Sudan of two incidents in which someone had attempted to kill bin Laden in Khartoum. We also knew that Mubarak was sending the word to Khartoum to rein in the terrorists, or else. It was getting a little too hot in Sudan for the al-Qaeda leader. In 1996, Afghanistan was looking better to bin Laden. Hoping to see the return of millions of Afghan refugees in Pakistan, the Pakistan Military Intelligence Service had armed and trained the Taliban religious movement to gain control of much of Afghanistan. The leader of the Taliban was much like Sudan's Turabi, a religious zealot seeking to create theocracy at the point of a gun. Mullah Omar was known to bin Laden and was eager to have his men and his money back. In recent years, Sudanese intelligence officials and Americans friendly to the Sudan regime have invented a fable about bin Laden's final days in Khartoum. In the fable, the Sudanese government offers to arrest bin Laden and hand him over in chains to FBI agents. But Washington rejects the offer because the Clinton administration does not see bin Laden as important, or it does and cannot find anywhere to put him on trial.